wanted to talk about Parshas Para this morning, and generally speaking, Parshas Para is a very complex sugya in general. If you ever learned Mishnayos Maseches Para, you'll note that there are a lot of things about, I was just learning with Joel yesterday, there are a lot of things about Para that are totally unusual and don't fit into any of the normal categories of Tumah and Tahara. But I'm not going to talk about the halachos of Para. I think it's kedai to spend some time talking about the hashkafa of Para. In smicha classes, they always tell you that when you speak, you should always ask no more than three questions, because people can't keep more than three questions in their head at the same time. Usually by the time I ask my third question, I forgot myself what my first question was. But we're going to limit it to three today. So question number one, why do we read Parshas Para Aduma? What do we read the Parsha Para Aduma for? So everyone knows that the reason we read the Parsha Para Aduma specifically at this time of the year is because we need to prepare ourselves in order to be mitahar, to teach ourselves how to become tahar from Tumas Meis, because we're going to have to bring Karban Pesach soon. So in order to be mitahar ourselves in advance for the Karban Pesach, we read the Parsha Para Aduma to remind ourselves just how one goes about making themselves tahar. So that's the official answer. And that works really great when you have a Karban Pesach. We don't have a Karban Pesach. So why do we read Parshas Para now? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful drush in Drash Moshe, in the back of the Drash Moshe. Now, they translated part of the Drash Moshe, but they only translated the short little Vartlach in the Drash Moshe. In the back of the Hebrew Drash Moshe, he has these long, long drushos that he gave on various occasions that are very complex, very beautiful drushos. They never translated them, but he has one very beautiful long drush where he tries to explain the contemporary significance of each of the Dalet Parshios and their connection to each other. We're not going to discuss that today. Maybe at the end I'll try to summarize it for you. But he poses this question also about Parshas Para. It doesn't seem to really be a point to Parshas Para nowadays. We're not being matar ourselves for anything. We don't have a Paraduma. Although Rabbi Rolban was telling me yesterday, the Machona Migdash is raising Paradumas. I don't know how they, if they're genetically engineering them or what they're doing to raise Paradumas. But there is, they found one and they figured out how to go from there. They cloned it, I don't know. But the, anyway, we're not going to discuss Machon HaMikdash right now, but the point is that that it doesn't seem that there's really much need for Parshas Para nowadays. That's question number one. So what's the purpose of reading Parshas Para? Question number two. So Chazal tell us that Shlomo HaMelech worked extremely hard to understand a lot of every detail of Torah, and he was the Chacham Mikol Adam. He was brilliant. He was so brilliant that the economy in Israel was thriving during his time because he himself was a tourist attraction. People would come from all over the place just to see how brilliant he was and how he would judge cases, and tourism was way up when Shlomo HaMelech was king. That's why when Rechavim took over, they started to struggle financially because they continued to spend the way they did when Shlomo HaMelech was around, but the money just wasn't coming into the country anymore. Having Shlomo HaMelech as a king was like hosting the Olympics every single year. He just had a flood of tourism and people coming to spend money in Eretz Yisrael, and he was so brilliant, everyone knew about it. The whole world was amazed at his brilliance. Yet, at one point, Shlomo HaMelech just throws his hands up in the air and says, "Amarti ech kamavihi rechoka mimeni." I thought I was so smart, but there's just one thing that it's just beyond me. I can't understand it. What's he referring to? What's the vihi? What's rechoka mimeni? What's beyond him? It's none other than Para Aduma. Para Aduma is something that even Shlomo HaMelech can't quite wrap his mind around. He can't quite get it, what the idea of Para Aduma is. So it seems just Bepashtus, that if Shlomo HaMelech can't get it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to keep this a secret. He tried to keep Para Aduma and what the reason for Para Aduma is, what the idea of Para Aduma is, some sort of secret from us. And we're not supposed to understand it. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? And even if he's going to do that, he wants to keep something secret from us and tell us that, look, this is going to be beyond human comprehension. Why dafka in this area of halacha? Why not something about Hilchas Tefillin or what? Why dafka in the area of halacha about being metaher from Tumas Meis? That's where he's going to show us that there's a halacha that we're never going to understand it with our own intelligence. It's something that's beyond our comprehension. And to just amplify the question a little bit more, if you look at Rashi, and I don't know if I put the Rashi on the page over here, but Rashi on Zos Chukas HaTorah, Rashi, yeah, the first Rashi, it says Bamidbar Perek Yutes Pasuk Beis. It means Rashi Bamidbar Perek Yutes Pasuk Beis. Rashi writes, Lefisha Satan v'umos ha'olam monin es Yisrael lomar, maha mitzvah azos, umatam yeshba. Rashi writes that the Umos Ha'olam and the Satan are going to mock us. They're going to make fun of us. They're going to say, what is this mitzvah you're doing? Matam Yeshba. What reason is there for this mitzvah? So, Lefichach Kasav Bachuka. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah, Zos Chukas HaTorah. That it's a chukah, it's a chok. Gzeirahim Milfanai, Ve'en Lecha Rishus Laharer Achareha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ask all you want. But you're not going to get an answer. You can make fun all you want. It's not going to help. It's a chok from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's our answer. Our answer is that there is no clear answer. It's a chok from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't understand it. So Rashi very adamantly and very strongly says, this is something we can't understand. It's something we won't understand. There's no logical explanation that we can give to the Umos HaOlam to try to explain to them why we're doing what we're doing. It doesn't take long. Literally, within 20 to 25 psukim later, Rashi on the Chumash gives a pshat in what Paradum is all about. So just a few psukim after saying that it's a chok, it's a chukah, they can make fun all they want, we have no explanation, there's no answer. And then Rashi himself, just a little bit later, quotes from Chazal that there's a very logical and rational explanation why we do Parah Adumah. What exactly is that logical and rational explanation? So if you look at Rashi, source number 3, Mashal ben Shivcha, Shetine Platin Shal Melech. Let's say the king has a maid who has a young child that messes up one of the rooms in the palace. So who do you think the king is going to call to clean up the mess? Calls the mother of the child. Look, watch after your child when your child's in my palace. Your child made a mess, you go clean up that room now. You go fix what your child broke. So too over here, says Rashi, Amru, Tavo imo utakanea chatsoa, kach tavo para utachapra le'egel. Klal Yisrael had this one horrible mess that was created by this young child of a cow, this baby calf, namely the Egel HaZahav, made a big mess for us spiritually. So when we need to clean up that spiritual mess that was left by the Egel HaZahav, so what do? Tavo Ima, let the mother of that baby come, namely the Parah Adumah, and clean up the mess. So what's the purpose of Parah Adumah? It's to symbolize that just as we rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the image of a cow, we're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the image of a cow. We're going to be mechaper for the Chet HaEgel through the Parah Adumah. Okay, is it the greatest explanation you ever heard? Maybe yes, maybe not, but at least Rashi himself is telling us that we have something to tell the Umos HaOlam. But yet 20 psukim earlier, he said, no, there's nothing to tell them. They can make fun all they want. Just tell them it's a chok. There's nothing. There's no reason. So which is it? Is there an explanation or is there no explanation? And when you think about this explanation, the explanation doesn't really work so well either. If you think about it for a moment, when did we get Parah Adumah? Problem is, we received Parah Adumah before the Chet HaEgel. We received the mitzvah of Parah Adumah prior to ever violating the Chet HaEgel. So even the explanation doesn't really seem to fit, but Rashi doesn't make note of that point. The refuah called the Nachla. Okay, good. So we'll get to that soon. But it doesn't seem, at least at the time that we receive Parah Adumah, that there's any real good logical explanation. Furthermore, and I don't know how many questions I'm up to now, but I guess I don't know if I'm going to stick to my three. But furthermore, the Rashi clearly implies that when the Umos HaOlam see that we have a chok, they're not going to say, wow, that's great, that's so nice that you do things even though you don't understand it. They're going to be modern machreim, they're going to make fun of us, they're going to mock us. And we have to get ready for that, we have to get used to that. That's what Rashi seems to say, which is wonderful, except there are psukim in the Torah that seem to say otherwise. If you look in Sefer Devarim, Perek Dalid, in source number 2, psukim Hey and Vav, what does the Torah say? Re'ei l'madati eschem, this parsha eschem, re'ei l'madati eschem chukim u'mishpatim, kasher tzivani Hashem elokai la'asos kein b'kerav ha'aretz asher atem ba'im shama l'rishta. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I've given you chukim and mishpatim, different types of laws to observe. U'shmartim va'asisem, you should observe them and do them, ki hi chachmaschem u'vinaschem le'enei ha'amim. The other nations are going to see this, and they're going to see that you are chachamim, you are nevonim, your people are smart, you're intelligent. They're going to be impressed with this. So you'll say, no, they're going to be impressed with the mishpatim, right? It's not the chukim that they're going to be impressed with, says the pasuk vayter. Asher yishmuun eis kol hachukim ha'ele va'amru rak am chacham v'navon agoy agadol hazeh. They're going to see your chukim, and they're going to say, wow, that's brilliant, that's fantastic. And they're going to be super impressed with our chukim. So what's pshat? I thought Rashi told us they're going to be monen achrayim. They're going to mock us. They're going to make fun of us. They're going to think it's a joke. And now the pasuk in Chumash tells us, no, it's not going to be a joke. They're going to think it's great. They're going to think it's brilliant. They're going to see our system of chukim. Chukim! Not even mishpatim. Pasuk is specific. Chukim ha'ele. And they're going to be impressed. And they're going to say, that's fantastic. That's great. Such a wonderful thing. So again, very, very difficult to understand. To understand what's going on over here. So again, just to quickly chazer. Question number one, why do we still read Parah Aduma nowadays? We don't have Parah Aduma, we're not so interested in taking care of Tumas Meis nowadays, it doesn't really matter that much, we don't have a Korban Pesach anyway, that we're going to be able to bring. So what's the purpose nowadays of Parah Aduma? Question number two is, why would we, on the one hand, highlight that Parah Aduma is a chok, and then just a short while later, give an explanation for Parah Aduma, that it's the mother cleaning up after the child. Plus, that explanation doesn't seem to make all that much sense, considering that the Parah Aduma came before the Chada Egel. And third, how can, on the one hand, Rashi say that the Umos Olam are going to mock us, they're going to make fun of us, and yet, at the same time, the Chumash tells us, in Parshas Veschanan, that the Umos Olam are going to be very impressed with our chukim. They're going to see the way we observe chukim, and they're going to say that's fantastic, and they're going to think we're an am chacham v'navon. So these are the questions, amongst many other questions, that one could have about the Parah Aduma. So just to, by way of introduction, I just want to let you know, I'm not sure where I found many of the ideas that, these are ideas that I've had for years, and drushes I've given in the past that I'm putting together now. I believe most of what I'm about to say comes from a combination of the Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant, which is a phenomenal Sefer on Chumash, and Rav Asher Weiss. But there may be ideas from other places. Very few of the ideas are my own. But just to, in full disclosure, just to let you know that that's usually, most of what I'm about to say comes from those two places. So Sefer HaChinuch writes, in order to understand, to begin to approach an answer, so there's a very common notion that Sefer HaChinuch discusses, and I'm not going to read the whole Sefer HaChinuch inside, because we're never going to get done if we read everything inside, but the Sefer HaChinuch talks about the idea that if you're trying to work on a certain midah, right, the sort of Yisrael Salanter held that it's the hardest thing to do in life, is shviras hamidos, is to break a midah, to change a midah that a person has. So if you're trying to work on a certain midah, let's say you have animosity toward a person, and you want to work on that, you want to start showing proper ahava, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, toward that person. So what should you do? So Sefer HaChinuch has a rule that acharei hapu'ulos nimshachim halavavos. You can see that phrase 4 lines before the end of the passage in source number 4. Acharei hapu'ulos nimshachim halavavos. You start to do things in a way that reflects a sense of ahava, let's say, and eventually you'll come to love the person. If you shower someone with gifts, you tend to like them more, because you're acting in a way that you like them more. And as you do things, we tend to, why do schools have a dress code? Because we hope that if someone dresses like a mensch, they'll feel like a mensch, and they'll start to behave like a mensch, they'll start to believe maybe they actually are a mensch. Right? That's the idea, that if you act in a certain way, even though you don't feel like acting that way at first, when you do it enough times, eventually it affects who you are. And this is, it's a tried and true method. If you ever have an issue with someone who you strongly dislike, you go out of your way to be nice to that person. I once had a person send me an anonymous hate mail, email, the person sent it anonymously, but I knew exactly who it was. So I just went out of my way to be extra nice to the person for a long time. And I feel bad because the person's terribly embarrassed now. Every time I go, and he doesn't know that I know, but still, it's got to feel weird. But the point is, after a while, you know, all that anger that you have initially, it subsides, and you begin to believe the way you act. You begin to feel like you really love the person. So in general, that's always a good eitzah, Sefer HaChinuch says, that when you have when you act in a certain way enough, eventually you begin to believe it and you begin to feel it. So perhaps the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a law that we're never going to understand. He gave us Parah Aduma. It's a halacha that he told us in advance, look, Shlomo HaMelech was way smarter than anybody sitting here, and he didn't understand it. So he gave us a law that we're never going to understand. Why? Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to set us up to get used to the idea of doing things that we don't understand. That it's very easy, or not very easy, but a little bit easier to motivate ourselves to do things that we understand fully. When I understand exactly what I'm accomplishing by doing this task or that task, I understand how it leads to A, B, and C, and how it's going to get me to my goal, and I understand exactly what's being accomplished and why it's for the greater good and what the purpose is, so it's not that difficult to get myself motivated to do that task. But there are certain things that I won't understand. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to get us used to the idea that there are certain things you won't understand. Now, why is it important to get used to the idea? Why can't you just let us understand the entire Torah? So perhaps the issue is not that God is worried that we're not going to understand the Torah and we're not going to want to do the Torah. No, it could be we'll work hard and we'll try to understand all the Torah. But there are situations in life, just like there's chukos ha-Torah, there are chukos ha-chayim. There are situations in life that present themselves that are chok also, that are beyond our comprehension. And we can't really make heads or tails of it. We can't really figure out if there's any rhyme and reason to what God is doing. And there are chukos ha-chayim. And perhaps to get us accustomed to the idea of a chok, to get us accustomed to the idea that we don't have to understand everything to be at peace with it, we don't have to understand everything to live with it and to handle it with a certain sense of stoicism. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a Chukas HaTorah, and he tells us, do this. Every time someone becomes Tamei Meis, just do this. Do the Parah Adumah. Go through this procedure, and you'll get used to the idea. And where does he give us that Chok? In what area of Halacha? Not in Hilchas Tefillin, not in Hilchas Tzitzis, not in Hilchas Shabbos. Where does he give us that Chok? In Hilchas Tumas Meis. As a person confronts death, which is the most difficult thing for a person to come to grips with, our own mortality, our own the loss of a relative or the loss of someone who we don't understand why it happened, and we have so many questions, and we're left confused, and we're left broken, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, look, you have a Chukas HaChayim to face right now. Let me give you a Chukas HaTorah. And the more you do the Chukas HaTorah, the more you learn to deal with and cope with the Chukas HaChayim. And perhaps that's the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we can kill ourselves with the question of Tzadik V'ralo, Rasha V'tovlo. So he sets up a system in advance where we grow accustomed to the idea of saying, you know what, I don't understand it, I don't have an answer for it, but it doesn't mean it's going to break me and shatter me. I'm still going to be able to live my life in a proper way and in a productive way, even though I don't have an answer to all my questions. And based on this idea, we can explain a lot. There's a very amazing story that the Gemara Maseches Menachos tells us. If you look in source number 5, says Gemara Menachos, Amrav Yudom Rav, B'sha'a sha'ala Moshe l'marom, when Moshe went up to Shemayim to get the Torah, Matzah l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'yoshe v'kosher k'sarim la'osios. So Moshe goes up, he expects to receive the Torah, go right back down. And what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tying the crowns on top of the osios of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Amar l'fanav Ribbono Shel Olam, mi ma'akev al yadcha." Okay, can you stop with the decorating already? You know, just give me the Torah. All the words are there. I see them. Just give it to me already. What do you need to tie these crowns on top of the letters for? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "No, no. Adam echad yesh sha'as elios b'sof kamadoros. You don't get it. You don't understand what these crowns are for. But there's going to come a man one day in the end of many generations. V'akiva ben Yosef Shemo. He's going to be named Akiva ben Yosef, the famous Rabbi Akiva." Sha'asid lidro shal kol kotz v'kotz tilin v'tilin shal alachos. He's going to look at each of these crowns. He's going to look at each point in these crowns and darshan piles of halachos based on each of these crowns. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban shall call Yisrael Adon HaNaviim, you don't get it. But Rabbi Akiva, he's going to get it. He's going to understand what it's all about. He's going to understand what these crowns are for. It's not just decorating. These crowns are here to teach halachos. You don't understand them, but they're here to teach halachos. So Amar l'fanav Moshe Rabbeinu is impressed. He's intrigued now. Wait a second. So he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hareuli. I'd like to be able to see him. Right? The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't only show him Rabbi Akiva. He showed him Dor Dor V'Dor Shav. He actually showed him each of the future generations and who the leaders of the generations were. But Moshe had a specific request. Let me see that Rabbi Akiva. I got to see this guy. So Amar l'fanav Chazol Acharecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, turn around and I'll beam you to his classroom. Right? I'll beam you up. So Halach V'Yashav B'Sof Shmona Shuros. So Moshe Rabbeinu sat in the back of the 8th row of Rabbi Akiva's classroom. Now that may not sound significant. Who cares where he sits in the classroom, right? He's in the class. But the way they used to set up the shiurim was based on how advanced you were. It was like they used to sit in front of the Sanhedrin. The Talmidim in front of the Sanhedrin would sit in order of their abilities. So the first row were the smartest kids. You can't really do this anymore, right? We don't do this in classrooms anymore. So the first row was the smartest kids, and the second row were the next one. And it went in order. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in the last row, in the last seat of Rabbi Akiva's classroom. So that's pretty humbling, right? Adon HaNaviim, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, and he's sitting there in the back row of Rabbi Akiva's classroom. But the humbling experience wasn't over yet. So he sits in the back row of Lo HaYodea Mahim Omrin, and he had no idea what was going on in the shir. You ever sit in a shir and just like have no clue what the guy's talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there and he's like, this is just beyond me. I have no idea what he's talking about. So Tashash Kolcho. So immediately Moshe Rabbeinu gets. He's upset. He's weak. He doesn't know. He's beside himself. You know, I'm the one that's bringing the Torah down, and I have no idea what this guy is talking about. Given sheigil the davar echad. But then he heard the following. They got to a certain point in the shir. Amrlo Talmidav, Rabbi Minayinach. He had Rabbi Kiva at sharp Talmidim. So one of the Talmidim said, Rabbi, prove that point. Talmidim always have to be on the Rabbi's case. Yeah, you can't just say things. Prove it to me. Where do you know that halacha from? So Amrlohen, halacha l'moshe misinai. So Rabbi Kiva says, where do I know it? We just accept it. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. That's how I know it. Ah, Nesiyash v'daita. Moshe says, he needed me. He needed the halacha l'moshe misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu calms down a little bit. Okay, halacha l'moshe misinai. Even Rabbi Akiva needs the halacha l'moshe misinai. So I'm okay with that. So then he goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar l'fanav, Ribono shel Olam. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have one complaint, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh lecha adam kazeh va'ata nosein Torah al yadai? There's going to be a man like that, and you're giving the Torah through me? What are you thinking? He's so much better. Amar lo, shtok kachalav makshav l'fanai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just be quiet. Amar l'fanav, Ribono shel Olam, harisani tarasa reini schara. Okay, good. You showed me his Torah. I can't wait to see the schara. What kind of schara does someone like that get? Amar lei chazor l'acharecha. He says, okay, you asked for it. So turn around and you'll see his schara. Chazor l'acharev rosh ha-shoklin b'sara b'makulin. He goes and he sees that they are scraping off Rabbi Akiva's skin with those iron combs. We know Rabbi Akiva, one of the Asara Rugi Malchus, got killed in this horrible way. Amar l'fanav, he said, Ribono shel Olam, zu Torah v'zu schara? What? That's the Torah and that's the schar. A Talmud Chacham like that gets. What does Ribono Shel Olam respond? This is the answer we've all been waiting for, right? We need the answer to this question. Tzadik v'ralo, what did Rabbi Akiva do to deserve that? So what does God say? It's a big letdown. Arm le'shtok, kachala b'machshav l'fanai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, just be quiet. This is what I thought to do. This is what came on my mind in front of me. What kind of answer is that? First of all, it wasn't just Allah b'machshava. Allah b'machshava means I thought about doing something. When you do something, it's not just that you thought about doing it, you did it. Rabbi Akiva actually was killed in that way. It wasn't just something that was Allah b'machshava. What kind of response is that to Moshe Rabbeinu? Shtok kach Allah b'machshava l'fanai. Very, very strange. And also, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so gratified to hear that Rabbi Akiva said a halacha l'moshe misinai? Okay, shkoyach, he said a halacha l'moshe misinai. It was gaiva. He needed to hear that he had that he was being quoted in Rabbi Akiva's classroom. And if Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have quoted him, Rabbi Akiva would have just said, I just know that Moshe Rabbeinu would have been upset. And is that what Moshe Rabbeinu really needed? It? The Yanov Mikal Adam? He needed to hear that. He needed to hear his name mentioned in Rabbi Akiva's shir. So perhaps we could say, and again, this is not my own answer. I think it's the Bar Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Shalant suggests that Moshe was disturbed when he saw that there were parts of Torah that he didn't understand. It bothered him. There's Torah that I don't get. I'm supposed to be the one that brings the Torah, and it really irked him that he didn't get it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that even Rabbi Akiva doesn't understand everything in Torah. Rabbi Akiva's Dorish, Tilin, Tilin, Shalalachos on the crowns of the letters. But guess what? At a certain point, Rabbi Akiva also had to say, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. I don't understand it, but I just know that it is, and I accept it. Because it's halacha l'moshe misinai. And then Moshe asks the Ribono shel Olam, how could Rabbi Akiva have met such a terrible end? How could Rabbi Akiva have suffered so terribly in his death? How could it be that someone who learned so much Torah had to go through such a misa like that, such a misa mishuna? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Shtok kach Allah b'machshav alafanai. The Ribono shel Olam said to him, I knew you were going to ask that question. And that's why I showed you first Rabbi Akiva's Torah. Meaning, I first gave you an experience of Rabbi Akiva sitting in a classroom and someone asking him about a piece of Torah and him not knowing the answer. And him being okay with the fact that he doesn't know the explanation for everything and that some things he just has to accept is a halacha l'moshe misinai and it's just the way it is. And just as he accepts the chukas haTorah, there's also a chukas haChayim. Kach Allah b'machshav l'fanai doesn't mean I thought about doing this. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, I knew where this conversation was headed from the moment it began. And that's why I showed you, not just Rabbi Akiva saying a shir, darshaning l'ksarim shalosios. That would have been easy. I showed you Rabbi Akiva humbling himself and saying, halacha l'moshe misinai. I don't always understand all the kudos haTorah. There are certain things in the Torah that I just have to accept. It's just, it is because it is. And I just have to accept it. And just as Rabbi Akiva is willing to accept the chukas haTorah, we need to also accept the Chukos HaChayim. There's an interesting Magen Avram. Magen Avram writes, and again, we're not going to read everything inside, but the Magen Avram writes that there used to be a minhag Minag Yisrael in many communities that they would fast every Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Why would they fast Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas? What is that? What's the sad occasion that happened in Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas? Because one year on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas was the year, there's a kina we say on Tisha B'Av for this, for the burning of the 24 cartloads of Svarim, of Gemaras and Svarim before the printing press. Burning of Svarim was a major, major tragedy. It basically affected the severance of a Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, because we didn't know it by heart, and we couldn't just push a button and print out another 10,000 copies. It didn't work like that. When they burnt all those books of Torah, it was a tremendous tragedy. The burning of the books was a tremendous tragedy, and the Chachmei Yisrael at the time, Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch, this isn't this is halacha sefer. Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch says that they at the time the Chacham were so taken and so hurt by what had happened, they needed some hadracha, they needed some guidance, and they didn't know what to do, so they did a she'ilas chalom. It's a trick we can't really do so much nowadays. I don't know how they did it, but they would go to sleep, and in a chalom, they would ask up in Shemayim exactly, for some guidance, and they would receive guidance and wake up and know what to do next. Similar to, there's a sefer called Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, one of the Bali Atosvos. They still sell it in the stores, a little blue volume. Rav Reuven Margolios reprinted it with commentary. Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim was one of the Bali Atosvos, would go to sleep every night, and he would go up to Shemayim and ask his questions, and he'd get his answers. He'd wake up and he'd write down the answers to the questions. And you would think, if you had the opportunity, what would you ask? Tzadik Viralo, I would ask all the secrets of the universe. He says, well, if the parshas and tefillin are like this, just ask these minutiae and halacha. Nothing so exciting. It's exciting, but Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva. I'm getting a little off topic. Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva. When you have a machlokas between the Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim and somebody else, do you have to pass on like the Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim? Because he got the answer straight from the source. So he says, no, Torah is lo b'shemayim. So it's like any other rabbi. He has the same opinion as any other rabbi. So it's the same. But anyway, but they did a she'ilas chalom in the time of the Magen Avraham. They needed to know, what do we do? We need some hadracha. So where do we go? And the answer was three words. They received the response. The response was, da gzeiras araisa. That was the response. Doug Zeros Araisa. If you look on the top of the next page, on the end of source number 6, right? And what is Doug Zeros Araisa? Doug Zeros Araisa is the exact targum for Zos Chukas HaTorah. And what did they understand? They understood that the tragedy they were facing is a chok. It was something that they're not going to understand. And it's directly linked to Zos Chukas HaTorah. Meaning they understood that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chukos HaTorah is because we're going to have situations in life where there are Chukos HaChayim. So we have Chukos HaTorah to accustom us to the idea of Chukos HaChayim. And they knew that they couldn't do anything about it, that they couldn't do anything to understand it, but they could do something to do tshuva for whatever it was. And they established a fast day. And the fast day is Dafka, not on the calendar day of the year. It wasn't set on a date. It was set on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. Because they saw the link. They saw a connection to Parshas Chukas. So based on this, we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to keep this a secret from us. He wanted to keep the reasons for Parah Aduma a secret from us, because there are going to be, just like there are daunting challenges in the theological realm in terms of figuring out how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the universe, and we don't understand why this happens, why that happens, why innocent people die, why people suffer. We don't understand things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to accustom us to that idea by getting us used to the Chukas HaTorah. And the message is an eternal one. We read Parshas Parah nowadays when we don't have a Parah Aduma, because the message is an eternal one. The message is always there for us. There are always Chukas HaChayim. So even when we don't have Parah Aduma, we still need to study the Chukas HaTorah. But there's another prat, and that is that we often translate chok, I think, incorrectly. Chok, we often translate something that has no explanation. If we're going to understand Chukas HaTorah as something that has no explanation, and therefore the parallel Chukas HaChayim as things in life that have no explanation, then we are going to struggle a lot. Because that's essentially saying that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has us all on a giant hamster wheel, and he's entertaining himself, watching us just run in circles, and there's just no reason for what we're doing. It's a chok, look, there's no reason. He's just doing without rhyme or reason. That's not what a chok is. A chok is not something that doesn't have a reason. To explain what a chok is, I think Rav Asher Weiss uses this example, if I remember correctly. He quotes a Gemara in the beginning of Sefer Bavashah. The Gemara tells an unbelievable story. Hordus was a slave to the Beis Chashmonai. He was a slave in the house of the Chashmonaim. And he received divine inspiration one day that advised him that any slave who rebels today is going to be able to kill out his old master's house and is going to be able to become the Melech. So he said, okay, might as well give it a try. So he rebels, he kills out his entire master's house, leaves one woman alive, because he fell in love with her and he wanted to marry the woman. The Gemara says some very strange things that he did with that woman. But eventually she goes up to the rooftop and she says, anyone who tells you from here on in that they come from the Beis Chashmonai is an Eved, and he's lying to you, he's just an Eved from the Beis Chashmonai. And she plunges to her death. And that was the end of her, and Hordus preserved her body for whatever reason. He wanted to carry her around to say, look, I'm married to someone from the Beis Chashmonai, she just doesn't talk much. And he preserved her body even though she was already dead. So that's the Gemara then goes on to say, but Hordus was very neurotic. He was very nervous about people being after him. So he said, wait a second. People are going to say I'm not allowed to be a melech. Why do they say I'm not allowed to be a melech? It's because the Torah says, Mikarev Echecha Tas Melech HaMelech. And the rabbis darshan that Torah to say, Mikarev Achecha, you have to have a melech, but you can't have a melech from Avadim. So it's the rabbi's fault that I can't be a melech. So there's only one solution. He kills out every single rabbi. Except he leaves one alive because he needs one to like teach him stuff. So he leaves Bava ben Buta alive. So he kills out everybody except for Bava ben Buta. But what does he do to Bava ben Buta? If you're familiar with the story, he takes this... I don't know if you've ever seen the old, it's not the, he takes this thing that has two big points on it, and he pierces Bava ben Buta's eyes out. He puts like an eye band around him and pokes his eyes out. He blinds Bava ben Buta. And then the Gemara says, one day, he still wasn't satisfied. He still wasn't sure if Bava ben Buta is going to be after him and try to bring him down. So one day he goes to Bava ben Buta pretending he's somebody else. He's blind, so he's able to pretend he's somebody else. And the Gemara tells the story. It's in source number 7. He goes to Bava ben Buta, and he says, Yom Echad, in the second line, Asav Yosef Kameh, he sat in front of him, Amar Chazim Mar Hayavda Bisha Maika Avid. And he says to Bava ben Buta, look what this horrible Eved did to you. This horrible, no good for nothing slave did to you. Amar Lei Maya Avid Lei, Bava ben Buta, what do you want me to do to him? There's nothing I can really do about it. Amar Lei Nalati Amar, you're a rabbi, curse him! Can't you do that? So Amar Lei, Ksiv, Gam B'Modach HaMelech Al Tekalel. Sorry, it says I'm not allowed to curse the king. I'm not going to curse him. Amar Lei, Haylav Melech Hu. So again, Hord is saying about himself. He's not a melech. But Bava ben Buta didn't know he was talking about himself. He's not a melech. Amar Lei, V'Lahavi Asher B'Almuk, Ksiv, B'Chadach HaMishkafcha Al Tekalel Asher. Even if he was an Asher, it says you're not allowed to curse an Asher. V'Lo Yehei El Nasi, Ksiv Nasi B'Am Chalosar. Even if he was only a Nasi, you're not allowed to curse a Nasi. Amar Lei Ba'osamaisa Amcha V'Halav Osamaisa Amcha. So Hordus says back to him, yeah, but that's only if he's religious. This guy's not religious. He doesn't do Osamaisa Amcha. He doesn't act like one of you. Amar Lei Mistafina Mine. So finally, Bava ben Buta said, look, I'm terrified of him. The guy poked my eyes out. He killed all my friends. I'm scared of him. I'm not going to say anything. Amar Lei, don't worry. Leke Inish Dazel Delei Malei Da'anava Atyasivna. It's just me, some random guy who you don't know. And you, sitting here, no one's going to tell him. We're not going to tell the king. It's just between me and you. So don't worry, you can curse him. I won't tell anybody. So Amar Lei, Ksiv, Ki Of HaShemayim, Yolech HaSakol, Baal Kanafayim, Yagi Davar. He says, no, Pasuk says the little birdie in the window is going to hear it and is going to go tell him. I'm not saying anything. So Amar Lei, Anahu. So Hordus says, it was me the whole time. I was, you're on getting camera, right? It was me the whole time. I was Hordus. I can't believe you just didn't say, you didn't curse me. I can't believe what you just did. Iyavi Yadana Desire Rabban Kule Hailova Katilvalahu. If I would have known the rabbis were so careful about how they spoke and the way the rabbis learned the Torah to teach them such hadracha in life that they always knew how to be so careful and so good, I never would have killed all of them. But I did kill all of them. So what do I do now? So he said, oh, well, you know, you destroyed the Nero Shalolam, you extinguished the light of the world, so maybe you should bring some light into the world and renovate the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Gemara concludes and says, anyone who didn't see the Binyan Hordus, the Beis HaMikdash that Hordus built, never saw a Binyan Na'am Yamav, never saw a beautiful building in your life. It was unbelievable what he then did to try to be Mechaper for his Aveira. But says Rav Asher Weiss, wait a second. At the beginning of the story, he sees the Torah, and all he sees, and he sees the rabbis who darshan the Torah, and all he sees is a bunch of vindictive people who are exclusive elitists, don't want him in anywhere near them, and use the Torah for negative. And he doesn't get how it works. He assumes that the Torah is just used to keep out the lowlifes, to keep people like him out. And then a little more life experience, and a little more experience with Chachamim, a little more experience with the Torah, and his eyes are opened up a little bit, and he sees that no, it's a way of life, and it's actually a very beautiful way of life. He couldn't appreciate it at first. Sometimes you need to go through some life experience to appreciate things. Sometimes you need to see more situations to appreciate things and to understand where things are coming from. So this is the idea of a chok. A chok doesn't mean something that doesn't make sense. A chok means something that on the surface, when you first encounter it, doesn't make sense. But when after some life experience, after a broader picture, after you see a little bit more, it then begins to make sense. That's what Hordus was all about. That's what changed. And what emerges from the story is that that's the definition of every chok. What's the chok of Parah Aduma? Again, we said, on the one hand, Rashi says, it doesn't make any sense. Parah Aduma doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, Rashi says, Tavu ima utakaneach al b'na. Now the Parah Aduma is mechaper for the Chede Egel. Well, which is it? The answer is it's both. When we first get Parah Aduma, it doesn't make any sense. What's the purpose of a big red heifer? Why would we take a cow? What's the purpose of all this? It doesn't make any sense. Then, a little bit later on, we have a Chede Egel. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the refuah, someone said before, the refuah before the machla. Now it makes some sense. It's not that it didn't make any sense, it's that at the time it didn't make any sense. We needed to see a little bit more, we needed to experience a little bit more in order to appreciate it, in order to see where it was coming from. And now it made some sense. Now we were able to say, ah, that makes sense. And that's why Rashi contradicts himself. It has no reason, and yet at the same time, it does have a reason. It has a reason, we just couldn't appreciate it at the beginning. And that's why the psukim in Veschanan say that when the goyim see our chok, our chukim, they're going to say, Am chacham v'navon. But Rashi says, no, they're going to mock us. Because they're going to mock us initially. But l'asad lavo, with the perspective of history, when they're able to see how things played out over a long period of time, then the mocking is going to end. And they're going to say, I'm Chacham V'Navon. And these guys were right all along. And it's such a beautiful religion. And look what they were able to do. And look what they're able to accomplish. And that's exactly the advice that Shlomo Melech's advisors gave to Rechavam, his son, after Shlomo Melech died. Rechavam had a difficult decision to make. Should he continue to charge very high taxes and, you know, rule with an iron fist like his father Shlomo did? Or should he go easy on the people? So Shlomo Melech's advisors told him, go easy on them. You need to show good faith, and then you'll have them forever. Then they'll be yours, they'll do whatever you need. And his own advisors, Rechavam's own friends, said to him, nah, just you have to rule the nine fifths, you have to show them who's boss right away. So what does the Gemara say about that? The Gemara tells us, If Zakenim tell you to destroy, and children tell you to build, better to destroy than to build. Because their destruction is really binyan. Meaning, what's the Gemara telling us? That Zakenim have a perspective. They're able to see a larger picture. The children just see, the younger people just see what's right in front of their face. And they don't see the broader perspective. So they're going to see, they're going to tell you something that seems to make sense, but really in the broader perspective doesn't make sense. The Zakenim will tell you something that right now doesn't seem to make sense, but with a broader perspective and with more appreciation, more life experience, makes plenty of sense. And that's exactly the message, perhaps, of the Parah Aduma. That it's a chok in the sense that things in Chukas HaTorah and Chukos HaChayim, there are things that don't make sense initially. There are things that don't make sense after 10 years, after 20 years, after 50 years. But it's not a giant hamster wheel. Hashem Baruch Hu is not just running the world, watching us, entertaining himself, as we're running around doing nothing. Everything has a purpose, everything has a reason. And it's a very critical message, especially in times where, you know, recently, of course, in our community, we've been hit with unspeakable tragedies, one after the other. And, you know, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tanios, I put on the sheet, you can take a look at it later because we've got to finish up here, but the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tanios that when bad things happen, it's very easy for a person to say that, well, it's coincidence, you know, or statistically speaking, it's not really so unusual. There's going to be a recession every once in a while. Unfortunately, Nebuch, children do die sometimes. You know, people do die young, people have heart. It's statistically speaking, it happens. Ram says, you say something like that, that's derech achzarius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give us a message and we're not listening. Now, we're faced with Chukos HaChayim. We're faced with things, and the Rambam tells us that we can't just ignore it. But at the same time, the Chukos HaTorah tells us we can't understand it either. So what's the proper approach? So the Rambam says, the proper approach is very clear. You're not going to try to understand it. You can't try to understand things that are beyond our comprehension. No, one day, last love, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us the full picture, we'll get it. We'll get the Chukos HaTorah, we'll get the Chukos HaChayim. In the meantime, we do tshuva. we should take it personally. We should take it as some sort of message for ourselves. Kol Dodi Dofek, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about it with such passion, about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes knocking at the door, and you say, it must just be the wind blowing. Right? It must just be the mailman at the door. And he knocks a little bit louder. Wow, a cat is scratching at the door. And he's knocking so loud that the house is falling in already, and finally it's too late, and you get up, and he's gone. The Ribbono Shel Olam is knocking. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam knocks, and we have to realize that he's knocking. And that's the idea when we're faced with the Chukos HaChayim that unfortunately we're faced with a little bit too often. We have to realize that these Chukos HaChayim are a message in some way. They're not a message for us to try to understand. That's insulting. I was Menachem Avraham Rabbi Wallowick last week, and he said, it's amazing how many Nevi'im came to me this week. Nevi'im who told me that they knew that this is the reason it happened, that's the reason it happened. He said, the guy figured he's not an Isha and he's not a Katan, so he must be a Navi. He said, where does he get the idea that he's a Navi from? And that he's able to, that's not what Chukos HaChayim are about. It's not about coming up with the Nevi'us and telling us why things happen. It's about what to do. It's about how to react, how to do tshuva, how to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how to answer the Ribbono Shel Olam's knock. And that should be the message that we take out of Parshas Parah.